we open with a word of prayer. And rather than turn to the book of Daniel this morning, you might just go to the book of Ezekiel, and probably Ezekiel 38 and 39. And we're going to wrap this thing up this morning, I hope. Ezekiel's backwards just about a 16th of an inch. So, okay, let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the cooler weather, Lord, and for the rain. And Lord, just we do pray for those, Lord, that have been devastated by the storm. And Lord, I just pray that you'll use this event to draw many unto yourself, Lord, that many might be saved as a result. Lord, you bring punishment, Lord, in love to try to draw men unto yourself. And I pray, Father, that you'll be able to draw many, and pray that Christians will be there witnessing, Lord, and people to realize the frailty of human life. And one of these days, Lord, we're all going to stand before you. We're all going to give an account. And I just pray, Father, that you'll just use this this hurricane to honor and glorify yourself. We just pray now that you'll open our hearts for the message this morning as we study the book of Daniel and other books, Ezekiel, Revelation. Lord, just pray that we might have an understanding. And Lord, to understand your word. And to, Lord, as we study these things and see these events take place, we know, Lord, that you're sovereign, you're in control, and everything's going to happen exactly the way you said it will. And help us, Lord, to be aware of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, it's been a couple weeks since we were up here. We had just gone through Ezekiel 38 and 39 and talking about Russia and all these different nations are going to come together. There's two separate wars that takes place, one in verse 40, it's Daniel 11, 40, and another one in verse 44. And just to kind of get us up to speed here, it kind of names the nations. We always see the names Gomer, Magog, Tubal, Meshech, Cush, Mizraim, you know, and these different names. And basically it's talking about Russia, Ethiopia, Libya. Try to read through this. Anyway, all these different nations, we kind of took a look at them, and they're going to form a coalition. They're going to come against the Antichrist. They're tired of him running over them. And they're sick and tired of it, and they're going to try to do something about it. And I'm kind of going through my notes here just to get us refreshed here. And in verse in Ezekiel 38, it just talks about, you know, in the latter years, Russia, you're going to come into the land. They're going to be coming into a land where the people are dwelling in safety. It's going to be in a land of unwalled villages. And there's the reason I'm going through this is because we're going to be studying this. You're going to have to put on your thinking caps this morning, folks, because we've got to sort through some things here this morning, and I need your help because I'm not sure I totally understand it all. Anyway, the Antichrist is their protector, and Russia invades Israel to take a spoil. They invade there. They're going to take a spoil. We've seen that as we read through that. And and then God... And God is going to judge these nations by sending a great shaking in the land. That means a great earthquake. There's going to be pestilence and overflowing rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. And there's some place in Revelation, I haven't looked that up yet, but I remember another guy preaching on it, but it said there's going to be hailstones the size of a talent. And folks, a talent, I guess, as I remember what he said, is about 90 pounds. So can you imagine a 90-pound hailstone hitting you? And I'm working off of memory now, going back about 20 years, so that's what I remember. Anyway, Russian allies are going to be so confused when all this takes place, they're going to be fighting against each other and killing each other. And God completely destroys this army. The Antichrist is coming after him to come, squelch this uprising. When he gets there, it's all over. He didn't have to do a thing. Walks in here and all these people are dead. And we're going to see more about that this morning. This battle is not the Battle of Armageddon. I need to stress that. Again, it says, because the Israelites, they're going to burn Russia's weapons for 7 years. And these are weapons that can be burned. And in fact, it says the Israelites don't need to cut any firewood or do anything for 7 years. They're going to just be heating their houses and stuff like that, burning the weapons of this devastation where God has brought on these invading armies. For 7 months, they're going to be burying the dead, you know, of this great slaughter. And again, some authors' opinions are that it was near this time is when Satan is cast out of heaven. And we talked about that. And anyway, I'll leave that go for the time being. And anyway, there's war in heaven, and the devil's cast out of heaven to the earth, and it says he hits the earth in great wrath. And he is mad, and he's ready to go. So, well, I tell you what. Keep your finger in Ezekiel. I guess we need to read a verse in Daniel 11:44. So keep your finger there in Ezekiel. Go back to Daniel 11:44. I got little slips of paper between Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation, and I just flip, and it helps me to get to the right book in a hurry. I have tried to memorize the books of the Bible. I could memorize a bunch of stuff, but for some reason, I cannot memorize the books of the Bible. I cannot do it, so I got to struggle to find them. So Daniel 11:44, would somebody read 11:44 for us? Okay, Dilbert? Okay, thank you, Delbert. So now, the devil, and again, some authors feel like this is the time the devil's cast the earth. He is angry, he's fierce, and he's, in fact, it starts off here, it says, and now he really begins to feel his oats. He is angry. And it's sort of a bloodthirsty sense that he gets. He's going after these people, and again, the devil knows he's got but a short time. And so whatever he does, he's got to do it quick. And so he really moves out. And as it's at this time he really begins to crash against the religious and the political institutions that exist. We're in mid-tribulation now. Mid-tribulation. And he's going to go fighting, and this is when things really get angry and ugly in the world. Now, okay, like I said, God has destroyed all these invading armies. It said in one of the verses in there that they're going to be so confused with all this earthquake and everything like that, they start fighting against each other and they're killing each other. And like I say, when the Antichrist and his forces come on the scene, all these guys, all these armies, I should say, have been destroyed. They're destroyed. And the Antichrist didn't have to do a thing. They're dead. And so, hiding the fact about God's supernatural destruction of Russia and her allies, the Antichrist is going to be able to say, look at what I have done. Look at what I have done. I have obliterated this huge power by supernatural means. This is evidence that I am God. Okay? I mean, the Antichrist armies, I mean, everybody sees it. It's no secret. You know, the word is that. Look what I have done. I am God. And this energizes him like you wouldn't believe. They're different. Okay. Now, here's where I have really been struggling for a long time. There are differing views among scholars as to where Ezekiel 38 and 39 fit chronologically. And folks, as I'm going through this book, and I want to lay everything out chronological, I want to have it in order, I want everything to flow smoothly so everybody understands, so I understand, And I've had to change my opinion on things a lot during the study of this book. Things where I've had to, hey, I need to align my thinking with God's thinking, with the Word of God. By the way, there's something I meant to mention this morning, and I forgot it. I'm going to mention it now. So we'll take an intermission here. I was listening to a Christian radio station down in my shop, and a guy was on the news. He's kind of talking about the political environment, you know, that we're in right now. And he made this comment. And we're getting ready to vote. We got the elections coming up and everything. Everybody's ready to vote. And he says, folks, it's not about the donkey or the elephant. It's about the lamb. I'm going to let that soak in a little bit. It's about the lamb. And folks, it's what that means. It's not about voting for Republican or Democrat. We need to vote for the people that hold our Christian values, you know, regardless of what party they're from. That should take a priority over anything we vote for. And so it's not about the donkey or the elephant. It's about the lamb. And I thought that was unique. I like that. So I meant to mention that before we started. Okay, I just saw my note up here. So, okay, I have struggled for at least 3 months on sorting this thing, Ezekiel 38 and 39 out as to how it fits, where does it fit chronologically? And I have finally come to peace about it, because when I get done with what we're getting ready to look at here, I'm going to say, I don't know. Okay? Now, I have put this Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia invading here, I had to put it somewhere just to kind of get a continuity, a flow out of it, and we're done studying that now, per se. But now we're going to try to take a look and see, where does it fit chronological? Where is it? And so, like I say, there's four different theories on where this happens. Theory number one is happens at the beginning of the tribulation, at the very beginning. The second theory is it fits in the mid-tribulation. And that's where I've put it. I'm not saying that's right. That's just where I put it so I could get those two chapters taught. The third theory is it happens at the Battle of Armageddon. And the fourth theory is it happens at the end of the millennium. So, I'll let you think about those for a minute. And now we're going to go through, and every one of these, I'm going to give the reasons of thinking both for and against all theories. And it looks to me like there are scriptural reasons where it doesn't fit anywhere. It doesn't fit anyone. There's for, there's against, but there's always reasons that make sense. And so, anyway, here we go. Put your thinking caps on, and let's see if we can figure this out. And maybe some of you that have always been more familiar with this book of Daniel than I am, maybe you've got some insight that can help us all out. So, but I'm going to go through. In fact, at one time, I thought about it. Just forget the whole thing, Jim. I was so confused. I thought, let's just skip over it. Ezekiel 38 and 39, that's not the book of Daniel. Just skip it. Just go right on, you know, just forget it. And then, no, that's the Word of God. God's put it there. He wants us to know, and it's all a part of the timing that we're studying. So, okay. So I said there's four different theories. The first theory is that this happens at the beginning of the tribulation. And as I began taking a look at this thing, I thought, yes, that was my opinion, you know. And again, it's kind of like the first time I've ever seen this, you know, like I've said many times. But I thought, hey, this makes sense. But the reasons for that is because in Ezekiel, and go back to Ezekiel now, and look at Ezekiel 39:9. Anyway, if I could ever get this page turned. Okay. Ezekiel 39:9, it says at the end of that verse, it says, they are going to burn these weapons for 7 years. Well, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, the tribulation is 7 years long. They burn these weapons for 7 years. I thought, that's a perfect fit. you know, perfect fit. And so I decided, okay, this has to take place at the beginning of the tribulation, because they're certainly not going to be burning these weapons in the millennium. You know, that was my thinking. And that's other people's thinking too. They assume that these 7 years of burning the weapons must be over before the beginning of the millennium. All right? And reasons against that theory. And after I got to going through this thing, I thought, okay, I got to change my mind, because it didn't make sense to me either when you take a look at the negatives. Reasons against that. Well, first of all, it says, there's nothing here that states the burning of the weapons could not continue into the millennium. Now, that seems strange, kind of unlikely, but anyway. These verses describe a military invasion. However, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation are characterized as relatively peaceful, while the Antichrist expands his influence and authority. Now, there's going to be trouble, and I think maybe there's supposed to be, it's supposed to be bad times throughout the tribulation. Maybe the tribulation might really be bad toward the Gentiles as opposed to the Israelites. They seem to be pretty well taken care of by the Antichrist the first 3.5 years. But here it talks about that there's a battle is taking place here. And yet it says that they're going to be living in peace, unwalled villages. Ezekiel 38, 11, 14, and 39, 26 states that Israel will be living in unwalled villages at rest, dwelling safely, dwelling without walls, bars, or gates. And so at the beginning of the tribulation, there's not this massive military buildup coming toward them. You know, so if they got to be living safely. So the walls would have to come down instantly, and obviously this would take some time, because they got walls built going into this thing, and if it happens at the beginning of the tribulation, they've got to come down instantly. Very unlikely. Apparently this battle does not fit at the same day as the beginning of the tribulation. And after I studied this a little bit, it can't be at the beginning. So the second theory, and this is the one that I've included in our study here, this invasion of Ezekiel 38 and 39 take place at the midpoint of the tribulation. Okay, the reasons for that. If this is the case, then the burning of the weapons described in Ezekiel 38 and 9 would have to extend into the millennium. And Scripture does not indicate that this burning could not extend into the millennium. And I've struggled with this thought, you know. But, and some scholars seem to say that this seems to be the most common place in prophecy for this battle. Reasons against it. Again, Ezekiel 38, 11, 14, 39, 26 states that Israel will be living in unwalled villages, dwelling safely. All the walls and so forth, therefore, would have to come down within a 3.5 year period of time. You know, that seems to have more likelihood than, you know, just instantly. But how likely would this be? Ezekiel 39:7, and let's go ahead and read Ezekiel 39:7. And this is where it starts getting more complicated here. Ezekiel 39:7 says, "So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel." God states here in this verse that he is not going to let the Israelites pollute his holy name anymore. So, if this is in mid-tribulation, following in the last half of the tribulation, there's going to be 3.5 years of tribulation. And folks, I've been studying that, preparing the lessons in chapter 12 on this. Man, there is bloodshed and stuff, wars like you would not believe, okay? And the last 3.5 years of the tribulation is full of rebellion, fighting, and very likely the polluted to God's name. I'm sure that some of these military people fighting these wars, they might cuss a little bit. You know, they might have some, you know, and so it looks to be very likely that God's name is still going to be polluted. But yet it says here in 39:7, and this is as a part of this invasion, they're not going to pollute my holy name anymore. That does not seem to fit. Also, when Satan is loosed for a season at the end of the millennium, is a time full of profaning and rebelling against God. There is this massive invasion coming at the end of the millennium. And I mean, then Christ's going to destroy all these armies. And again, I'm sure there's going to be profaning of God's name is going to be taking place, you know, at the end of the millennium, because Satan is loose for a season. He brings all these people with him. There is a massive military buildup coming against Jerusalem. And that's when God steps in. So in Ezekiel 39:22, let's read Ezekiel 39:22. And it says there, so the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. If we're in the millennium, folks, all Israelites are not saved. There's unsaved Israelites. And so they don't know that God is their God from that day forward. It doesn't fit. Ezekiel 39:27-29. I'll read these. When I have brought them again from the people, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. God says, I'm not going to hide my face from them anymore. Folks, if it's in mid-tribulation, God's still pouring out his wrath on the land of Israel. And, you know, and he's still purifying them, and it's not going to be till the very end of the tribulation where they finally turn and cry out to God to save them with all these armies marching in on them, and they cry to God. And so that doesn't fit. And so God's wrath is still being poured out after the middle of the tribulation by the overrunning by the Antichrist armies. I mean, there's still battles taking place. And God has not, he's still pouring his wrath out on them. But in 39 it says, I'm not going to do it anymore. And so some say this doesn't fit with the second half of the 70th week of Daniel. And, but yet, now bear in mind, that's I put it in this place. But there's just a lot of things say it doesn't fit there. Third theory. It's actually a description of what's going to take place at the Battle of Armageddon. Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's a Russian force invading. Reasons for it. One author states that all wars beginning with verse 40 in Ezekiel 11, the first, there's the two wars in Ezekiel 11, verse 40 and 44. One author states that all wars beginning with the first verse 40 through the end of the tribulation should all be grouped into one war, calling the whole event the Battle of Armageddon. Well, that didn't seem strange too. Anyway, reasons against that. That's not really possible. You have a different enemy, and you've got a different outcome between the two. The war described in Ezekiel includes specific nations that invade Israel. In other words, we went through the list of them. I mean, it lists certain nations, but it's not all nations. Gog and his alliance of nations come against the mountains of Israel. The war at the end of the tribulation, known as Armageddon, is a world war. And we're going to be studying that in the future, but it talks about all nations are coming against Israel. That includes us. All nations are coming against them. It's a world war where the other one is not. Revelation tells us that this battle will involve all nations. All nations come against Jerusalem at Armageddon. All nations do. There is no peace just prior to Armageddon. This battle, this thing's been building, brewing and everything, and finally the Antichrist are marching on there. Well, again, it talks about that these Israelites are going to be living in relative peace and unwalled villages and stuff like that. There is no peace right before Armageddon, not even close to it. And so it doesn't fit. And again, Ezekiel 39:7, we've already read that. It says, I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. I mean, there's the biggest battle, or not the biggest, but the next to the biggest battle is getting ready to take place. I'm sure God's name is going to be polluted. Somebody's going to take God's name in vain. And again, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. In the millennium, Christ rules with a rod of iron, but people will submit by a feigned obedience. Now, Christ is going to be ruling in the millennium, like I say, with a rod of iron, and people, they're going to obey, but they don't have a choice. But we know that man's heart is still wicked, because at the end of the millennium, when Satan is loosed for a season, people are going to flock to him. And we're getting ready to study that here in the near future. But I mean, there is massive people are going to flock to the Antichrist. And so people are still rebelling against God. The numbers that come against Christ in the end are like the sands of the sea. That's a quote from the Bible, like the sands of the sea. And so they're going to pollute his holy name. The fourth theory, the battle at the end of the millennium. Let's just go ahead and read that about that battle. And let's go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 20. Now we're going to read this battle at the end of the millennium. Okay, Revelation chapter 20. And we'll read verses 7 through 10. And who would read these verses for us? 7 through 10. Josh? Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Josh. Okay, that's the battle. They're coming up against Jerusalem, and God comes down and destroys them by fire. Okay, reasons for this as to why people think that this battle in Ezekiel 38 and 39 fall at the end of the millennium. Reasons for it. It says Ezekiel 39:7. Going back to that verse, don't go there. But it says, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. At the end of the millennium, we come into the new heaven and the new earth. God's name is not going to be polluted. I mean, the white throne judgment is taking place. Going to the new heaven and new earth, God's name is not going to be polluted anymore. God's name will never be polluted again after this war is over. The war will be followed by true and everlasting knowledge of God in the new heaven and the new earth. Ezekiel 39:22 states that Israel recognizes the Lord as their God from that day forward. Well, that'll be true in the new millennium, or the new heaven and the new earth, I mean. Ezekiel 39, 27 through 29, God says he will never hide his face anymore from Israel because he's poured out his spirit on them. That would be true. Could be true. Ezekiel 38, 11, 14, chapter 39, verse 26 states that Israel will be living in unwalled villages dwelling safely. Well, they're dwelling safely during the millennium. You know, Israel would have been dwelling in peace and safety for 1,000 years before this final rebellion breaks out. 1,000 years would be plenty of time for the walls to fall down. During the millennium, they could be living in unwalled villages. 1,000 years. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 4. Give everybody a chance to get there. Isaiah chapter 2. Okay, everybody there? Okay, Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Who would read those verses for us, please? Kathy? Okay, the main crux of that is actually verse 4. And a lot of times I like to read the verses before. I hate to take a verse out of context. But here in this verse, it says, during the millennium, it is, they're going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. It says, nation shall not lift sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There'll be no wars during the millennium for 1,000 years. Now, here's something that kind of alludes to what John said 2 weeks ago. It says, references to weapons made of wood and horses can be seen literally as opposed to illusions of high-tech missiles. As it could be reasonably assumed that during the millennium, people will go back to a simpler way of life where horses and wooden weapons would be used, especially if there had been no need for weapons for 1,000 years. And so basically, a lot of the authors that I've studied on this thing has said, you know, hey, we're going to have high-tech missiles, this, that, and the other, and you know, but the Bible says we're going to burn this stuff with fire. We're going to burn the weapons for heat, you know, for 7 years. And so if there's been no need for war, it kind of makes sense. The various promises of final restoration after the war, such as the cleansing of the land, a true peace with no more threats of any kind, can be seen as totally true. Since there will be no more wars or evil after Satan is thrown into the lake of fire. At the end of the millennium, Satan is cast into the lake of fire. The white throne judgment takes place, and Christ ushers in a new heaven and a new earth. And there is a genuine and everlasting peace following the millennium. So, it looks like, you know, at this particular point, you know, this thing's making sense. And it does to me. You know, I'm thinking, at first I'd called Pastor. Yeah, it's been a while back. I said, Pastor, I am struggling. Can you help me on this thing? And he gave me some verses and stuff on there, and he listed off that one of the guys says that he believes that this battle takes place at the end of the millennium. And I thought, that's crazy. That was my initial thought, you know. It has some merit. There's some things in this that make sense. Not polluting God's holy name anymore, no more burning the weapons, whatever. So anyway, there's some similarities between Revelation 20, which is the battle at the end of the millennium, in Ezekiel 38 and 39. In both cases, armies march against Israel. In both cases, the armies are destroyed by God himself. God destroys them both by himself. In both cases, the armies are defeated before they attack. In both cases, there's no attack made. God destroys them before they ever attack. In both cases, the armies are coalitions of many countries. And in both cases, the armies come upon the people who have been living in an unprevented time of peace. Unprecedented time of peace. No walls in both cases. So, that's the arguments for this. Okay, we got 7 more minutes. I think I'm gonna finish this. Anyway, here's some arguments against this theory. We have no scriptures that define how long after the end of the millennium it is before the new heaven and the earth begin. But it appears to happen rather quickly. You know, the time span between this final battle and the new heaven and the new earth. The Bible doesn't give us any time. Israel needs 7 months time to bury the dead and 7 years to burn the weapons. Well, it seems very unlikely that in the new heaven and the new earth, they're going to be burning these weapons. Doesn't add up. It seems likely that there's a 7-year gap of time between the end of the millennium. Yeah, it seems unlikely that there's a 7-year gap of time between the end of the millennium and the new heaven and the new earth. You know, the Bible doesn't seem to indicate. Maybe there is. I don't know. And maybe some of you have some information on this that I have not been able to find yet. It seems unlikely that the burying of the dead and the burning of the weapons would happen in the new heaven and the new earth. That just doesn't make sense. Ezekiel 38 and 39 says that after the war, the nations that know that I am the Lord and that he will make his name known in the midst of Israel. But this would have already occurred during the millennium. God has already said, I mean, it's well known. God's ruling with a rod of iron. You know, that's already been made clear. But in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it says at the end of this war, then he's going to make his name known. At the battle at the end of the millennium, the Bible says God destroys Satan's forces with fire only. Fire only. But in Ezekiel 38, 18 through 22, God destroys the armies with a great earthquake, with pestilence, with a torrential rain, with great hailstones, and then fire and brimstone from heaven. So it seemed like God destroys in different ways in both cases. So that makes it look like that this doesn't add up and doesn't make sense. Folks, I've struggled with this. I'm struggling now. But anyway, and I thought, you know, rather than confusing everybody, I might be better just to forget the whole thing and skip it. But I can't let it go. I can't do it. It's the Word of God. So anyway, that kind of wraps this thing up as far as Ezekiel 38 and 39. And in fact, I was asking our evangelist about it a little bit. Well, not this. It was another thing. He says, you know, Jim, the big thing is, and Pastor said this many times himself, it's not so important to know the exact chronological order. We just need to know that it happens, you know. And so with that, I really cannot stand up here and say that I know for certain when this battle actually takes place. But all I can say is I know it does happen. So, is there any questions or comments, or does anybody have any insights that could help us out during this struggle of mine? Pastor. Yeah. Yeah. And folks, Yeah. And I don't. And all we know is it happens. And again, I came back to the thought about, you know, can you imagine somebody, let's say we're in the 1600s, and I'm going through the book of Daniel, and we're talking about Russia invading the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel has not existed for 2,000 years, you know, and it don't make a lick of sense. And a lot of times God, and we're going to see some of that in the future studies here, there's just some things, again, that we don't understand. But as time goes on, God brings enlightenment. And then we can look back on it and say, oh, yeah, now it makes sense. But at this particular point, it doesn't. And so, thank you for bearing with me on this. I have really struggled, and Nancy's watched me stew and sweat and fret and everything else over trying to figure this thing out. And I want to get it right. I want to have everything perfect and in order and in a systematic, and I can't do it. So, anyway, anybody else? You're going to get dismissed 2 minutes early. How about that? Okay, let's close the word of prayer. Next Sunday, folks, we'll start with verse 45, which is the last verse of chapter 11. And folks, in chapter 12, it is it's exciting. It is. I mean, we're getting down to specifics that's taking place during this last half of the tribulation. And it's just as I read these things, anyway, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, Lord, you reveal truth to us when you see fit. And Lord, we're just thankful for your word. We're thankful we can study it. Lord, I hope I haven't confused people this morning. Lord, and just speak to our hearts through your word and help us, Lord, just to know and understand. And then realize, Lord, there's just some times that we're not going to have the right answers, or we're not going to have the answers. And time will tell, and truth will be revealed more in the future. Then people can see things and look back on it and say, now it makes sense. It didn't before, but it does now. And Lord, we've seen that in our own studies here. So we just pray now that you'll be with Pastor as he brings a message to us. Open our hearts, Lord, for the message you have for us. Help us, Lord, to be obedient in living the word, not just hearing, but being doers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're just